Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Between you and me and this microphone, it has to do with weed.
And now, it's time for FinCast.
Boom, shakalaka.
Wide receiver and fan favorite Brian Finneran is talking Dirty Bird football. Powered by Scana Energy, the official natural gas partner of the Atlanta Falcons.
Looking for Finneran, who leaps into the air, a touchdown.
FinCast starts now.
All right, Falcons fans, another week, another disappointing hate week. You are listening to FinCast, brought to you by Scana Energy, the official natural gas partner of the Atlanta Falcons. And subbing in for BFin 86 is the one and only John Michaels. I'm Tyler Nelson, and like I said, you were listening to FinCast. JM, disappointing week against the Aints.
Nobody you hate to lose to more than New Orleans. Living in my household with a Saints fan, married to one.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's my own choice.
Oh.
Not the greatest decision. So two times a year we hate each other.
Yeah.
And
two times? Good marriage then.
Yeah, at least when it comes to football, just two times we hate each other. And it's hard to sit there and watch games with her. She doesn't talk a lot of trash, and the Saints have been terrible all year. Yeah. They pick up their fifth win of the year, and it happens to be their second against Atlanta. It stinks because that's a bad football team in New Orleans. But what you realize is we are equally a bad football team right here in the ATL. 5-9 on the year, playoffs hanging by, you know, basically the hair on the top of my head.
And the fact that we are still even mathematically in this at 5-9. It just remarkably mind-blowing.
Yeah, it tells you how bad this division is.
Yeah,
I remember
just sounds trash.
2014, I'm sorry, it was Mike Smith's last year.
Mm-hmm.
People forget the Falcons go into the final week of the regular season. Carolina is 7-8-1, and Atlanta 6-9. And the winner of that game was going to go, or they were 6-8-1, we were 6-9. The winner of that game would represent the NFC South and go to the playoffs. Carolina ultimately wins again. They blow the Falcons out.
Yeah.
Mike Smith ends up getting fired and moves along.
Right.
The good thing is you get in, you get a puncher's chance. And we have seen two teams with losing records go on and win games. That Carolina team won the opening round of the playoffs and moved on to the divisional round. And back in 2017, 16, maybe 2008, way back when, Marshawn Lynch in Seattle was a sub-500 team, won the NFC West, played the Saints in the opening round game. If you remember, that's the game Marshawn Lynch runs through the earth. They actually have an earthquake measured in Seattle from the noise there at the link at the time, and they win. So,
remember that, by the way, so, yeah.
Yeah, but if you're a Falcon fan and you want any positivity, if you do make the playoffs, it's a single-day elimination. The bad thing is, the realism right now of this team is they're not good. They're not bad enough where they're going to pick in the top five, but they're not good enough where they're going to be a real player moving
perpetual
forward.
NFL purgatory.
Yeah.
The main theme, of course, for point of even watching the game on Sunday, was Desmond Ridder's first start in the NFL. And does he play next season? Is he our quarterback for the future? Who knows? But for the here and now, that was a noteworthy thing to be tuning in for. What did you see? What were your thoughts? What were your takeaways?
He looked like a rookie quarterback making his first start on the road.
Yeah.
You go 0-4 to start. I don't think Arthur Smith put him in the best place.
Why do you say that?
I called for them taking a shot on the first play because, hey, a shot usually is one read. You read the safety to see what kind of covers are in, and you throw it down the field. And he does that, and it's an incomplete.
Right.
I don't think they put him in position with easy throws after that. You know, it was.
Yeah, there were a couple more shots like that on, like, the left side. Yeah. Okay.
So, for that, I didn't think early on he put him in an easy spot. I called for the first play to be a down-the-field shot, but then I would have run a screen. Or I would have ran, you know, something very easy, a 5-yard out.
Something like that, yeah.
Something that's very simple, 1-2-3, get the ball out and make a throw. It took him 4 passes before he gets a completion. I liked what I saw as far as commanding the huddle. He got up. He was making his checks.
Okay.
We didn't have delay of games. He seemed to know where he was going with the football. But it looked like the same old thing that we saw with Marcus Mariota. The part, Tyler,
in
that
what
makes
sense?
The offense was run exactly the same. We're down 14-0.
Oh, so you're saying the offense wasn't tailored to him?
More? No.
Like, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it was the same Arthur Smith offense. Down 14-0, we're running the ball. Down 14-0, I get it. Tyler Allgeier had a great game.
He did, yeah.
There was no real sense of urgency to allow Desmond Ridder to open it up and throw the ball. The problem you have here is you have to figure out between that game and the next three, is this kid a guy that can be your starter next year? And this is where I think Arthur Smith dropped the ball. When the Falcons lost to Carolina on that Thursday night, when Marcus Mariota was throwing the ball from his back, and you had a mini bye because you had that weekend off, and then you go, that's when you should have changed to Desmond Ridder. The problem was the division, to go back to that, is so bad, the illusion of being in the playoffs was still there. And with that, Arthur Smith kept saying, hey, Marcus Mariota gives me the best chance to win. Well, now you're going to get a four-game sample size with Desmond Ridder to find out, is he a guy moving forward? You're still going to be a team's picking most likely in the top 10, maybe top 8.
You think we're going to get that high?
Oh, yeah. Right now we're 5-9. There's only about six teams with worse records than us. So, yeah, there's a chance.
I hadn't looked at it in a while, but I thought we were like middle of the pack, like 15, 14.
We were we were like 5-6.
Yeah.
Now at 5-9, we're further down. My point to that is in the top 10, you have to address, if Ritter's your guy, cool, take quarterback out of the equation, sign a cheap veteran, move forward. If you find out in these next couple of games you don't think he's the guy, you got to draft a quarterback. I don't care if you spent a third rounder on him. I can throw a third rounder away.
Right. So, okay, again, John Michaels from the front row on 680 The Fan.
The who? The
who?
Locker room.
The what? Did I say the front row?
You did say the front row. Sorry. I was on that show for a while, too.
All right, I know. All right, let me...
I say I'd let that say. Keep that. That's podcastable stuff that people love.
Yes, it is. John Michaels from The Locker Room on 680 The Fan, filling in for his teammate, his on-air teammate, Brian Finneran, who has a little bit of the sniffles this week.
Yeah, he got sick. Convenient. He was sick right before Christmas with a week off. I'm giving him crap. He actually is sick.
I was going to say, I talked to him yesterday morning. He kind of sounded like me.
Yeah, he was half the show yesterday. He was blowing his nose and disappearing, and he didn't feel well. So we hope he gets back.
I'm sure he'll be fine. You were, John, the sideline reporter for the Falcons for how long?
Almost 10 years.
Almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, other than Finn, who was on the field.
Right, who played.
The most unique vantage for this team, the game. What is the thing that when you think about that time, on the sideline, traveling with the team, getting to know the players, getting to know this franchise, what is the thing that you would take away from that makes, I don't know, still care, still love this team? Being so passionate about it, right?
Getting to know the human side. Like, everybody sees these players as gladiators, and they are.
Right.
I mean, that vantage point, it's something I'll never forget in my life, to see an NFL game literally standing on the field from me to you, and we're like 4 feet apart. Yeah. When Julio Jones makes, and I go back to the Super Bowl, he makes this catch in the Super Bowl, and Matt LaFleur, who's now the head coach of the Green Bay Packers at the time, is a QB coach of the Falcons. And this is where I say getting to know the human side. We had gotten to know Coach LaFleur a lot as the QB coach. Friendly. You know, talk to him about a lot of different things. Julio makes that catch, and LaFleur runs to me and gives me a high five and goes, that's the catch that'll win you a Super Bowl. This is a true story. So for me, the things that I always take away is the perspective of knowing guys, getting to know William Moore, getting to know and hang out with Sean Weatherspoon and his family, getting to know Matt Ryan outside of the standard answers that he gave everybody, getting to know Julio Jones a little bit. And he was a guarded guy.
Yeah.
But that was something, you know, my relationship with Thomas Dimitroff was always great. And people are like, oh, you know, Thomas was a terrible GM. And I say, pause on that. Were there things he did wrong? Absolutely. But that guy twice was executive of the year in the NFL.
Yeah.
Twice built this team to an NFC title and a Super Bowl.
I was going to say, and if anything else, we didn't have two winning back-to-back seasons
until he was
in franchise history until the Mike Smith era, which is, of course,
Thomas Dimitroff.
Thomas Dimitroff era.
But my point to that was getting to know TD on a personal level. And I remember Thomas, and he never had to do this. I'm just a radio sideline reporter. Right. And a lot of times I'd go off on my own to get different vantage points. Thomas made it a point every single game to walk down and talk to me. 5 minutes left in the game, 3 minutes left, if the game was decided. A lot of times we wouldn't talk if the game was on the line, but he would always come over, hey, what'd you think of this? You know, good job by this guy. We heard you say that. That was the personal side, getting to know guys like that, getting to know Mr. Blank.
Mm-hmm.
And when they won the MLS Cup, when Atlanta United won the MLS Cup, we were doing the game in Green Bay the next day. So we had all went out as a, you know, as a show, as the radio broadcast team, along with all the Falcons personnel to watch Atlanta United win the MLS Cup. Yeah. Mr. Blank, who had not slept, took his own private plane to Green Bay, comes in the booth, gives me a hug. John, it's good to see you. Dave, it's good to see you. Wes, it's good to see you. Those are relationships that, you know, I'll never forget. And that stuff was, you know, we always talk about the cool things we do in this business. Mm-hmm. Nothing will ever top that.
What do you think, just mentioning Arthur, what do you think of his whole being on the sideline at the end of the game thing?
Dude, he owns the team. He can do whatever the hell he wants. He can go call a play
I know he has the right to, but there's been a lot of criticisms and even a lot of applause for the fact that he's on the field at the end of each game. What do you think of that? Not that he has the right to, because of course he does, but I mean, like,
I love it. I love to see an owner that cares. What I don't want is a nameless, faceless guy who sits in a booth and talks down to you. Now, I don't necessarily want the Jerry Jones side,
right,
who has to have a weekly radio show and tell you it's all about him.
Yeah.
Mr. Blank goes down and watches his product.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing that. He's very passionate about winning.
Yeah.
He wants nothing more. And I know people say, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Dude, this guy has brought more stability to this franchise than it's ever been here.
Oh, for sure. And that even just goes back to the Dimitroff and the Mike Smith era thing. 100%. And yes, there is very little criticism that you can stick to Arthur that it actually is worthwhile.
And where did I see it? May have been this week. They had a video of Arthur Blank down on the sideline reading to a young person. He literally had a kid on his lap reading a book to him.
That's amazing.
How can you not love that out of Arthur Blank?
No, that's amazing.
You know, so he's an awesome owner. He took us, and I say us, anybody that worked for him,
mm-hmm,
like we were part of his family.
Right.
Yeah, we were extended family. But he opened his doors to us, and he never had to. I didn't grow up a Falcon fan. Everybody knows that. I grew up in a different state in a different era.
Says the guy wearing a Miami Hurricanes hoodie.
I became a Falcon fan, right, and a lot of that had to do with everything I just said. It was the relationships I built with the people in that organization, and I want nothing but the best for them. I want them to make the playoffs just so we have January 15th football.
Segueing then, we have one mathematical game difference? What is our
So right now CBS has a 4.6% chance to make the playoffs.
Right. What is our not mathematical odds, I guess I meant to say the scope of what has to happen for us to make
the
playoffs?
We can't lose again. That's pretty much where it is.
We have to win out.
We could actually be eliminated this weekend. If the Falcons lose to the Ravens and Tampa Bay wins, our season's over as far as playoffs.
So Tampa Bay has to lose out, we have to win out?
No, they have to lose one other game. We have to win out.
Okay.
And now I think there's stuff with the Saints and the Panthers. The Saints have a tiebreaker over us. We need them to lose a game. I don't know how convoluted it gets if it's a 3 or 4-team tie.
Very, very thin.
Literally 4.6% chance. That's what losing to the Saints, losing to the Chargers, losing to the Commanders, all these games that you lose right at the end, it took your playoff possibility way down. You had it in your hand. Had you beat the Saints, you win out, you're in the playoffs.
Well, not to mention, this has become less true as the season's gone on, but there were so many games. I feel like the first five games or the first three or four losses were all just like, should have won it, could have won it.
Right.
And now, we've had less of those since, but I mean, those early Marcus Mariota ones were like, well, he's keeping us in the game, and that stopped being true, which is why we have Desmond Ridder now, but that's where I look back and be like, if only.
Well, you can name the last 2 years. So you think last year you were 7-2 in one score games. This year you're like 2-8. How many times of the game, Commanders game, you inexplicably throw a pass, intercept it.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Last week against the Saints, you catch a ball that's going to get you in field goal range,
and
you fumble.
It.
You know, you have the game against Carolina earlier this year where you just wet the bed on a Thursday night and do nothing right. I lose track of how many close games we've had because they've all been the same. Tampa, you have the terrible Grady Jarrett roughing the passer penalty when you're supposed to get the ball back with a chance to go down and win the game. So, you know, there's moments, but this is what happens, honestly, Tyler, when you have a team that's limited talent. I mean, let's call it what it is.
True.
Limited talent. $70 million in dead cap. So that's seven. Can you imagine running a business where we say we're going to take a third of your ability to spend money, but we want you to perform like you've got the full amount?
Right.
And that's what Terry Fontenot and company have had to do.
Well, I mean, that just always reminds me of the saying that I remember a lot of people describe about Mark Richt, the Mark Richt era at Georgia, is that winners find a way to win games and losers find a way to lose them. There was always those Mark Richt games. It's like, how did you lose to Mizzou? Come on. And there were those losers find a way to lose games and winners find a way to win. And that's what I feel like a lot of what you're describing. Some of those, the Grady Jarrett call notwithstanding, you know, the first game against the Saints, the Panthers game.
You blow a 16-point lead against the Saints.
Unbelievable. So anyway, looking forward because the running ethos this year on FinCast, John, has been hope springs eternal.
Right.
So with that being said, what are we looking at for Sunday with this, the Ravens? Because no Lamar Jackson.
Maybe.
They
said he may come back to practice as of this morning, but they're nothing as of yet. If he doesn't play, Baltimore is offensively challenged.
Mm-hmm.
They scored 3 points last week. I think they scored 14 the week before and 10 or 9 the week before that with Tyler Huntley. Without Lamar Jackson, Rashad Bateman's out hurt. They've been banged up at running back. They're not very good. But they are stout defensively against the run. That's the only thing.
Which
the
is
Falcons
the only thing
really,
we have going for us.
Yeah, it's the only thing we do well. And the weather's supposed to be bad. They said it may be like 7 or 8 degrees at kickoff. So if you're Desmond Ridder, good luck with that. What I see in that game, same as always, is going to be low scoring, close. Even if Lamar Jackson plays, low scoring, close, down to the wire. Can the Falcons make a play to stay alive? If I'm a betting man, and I hate to be negative, it's probably no.
Yeah.
History has shown that they don't make that play, but I think right. It's going to be, you know, 17-14 with 2 minutes to play. Maybe we have the ball, maybe we don't.
And the Falcons probably shit the bed at the end.
And they probably do.
All right, well, to then close out, I will ask you your opinion on this. Quarterback notwithstanding, mm-hmm. What position, if we had top pick, last pick, all that, just all things being equal, other than quarterback, where would you go in the draft with what you see of this team?
I tweeted it out on Sunday at John Michaels U as the Falcons give up a bunch of points early, 14 straight. I said next year, and you've got $70 million in cap space, and you're going to probably have a top 10 pick, I would spend every single dime and every single draft pick on the defensive side of the ball.
Because
mm-hmm. Right now, truthfully, we have two guys that I can depend on, A.J. Terrell and Grady Jarrett.
Right.
8:30 Monday morning on, or Tuesday morning, excuse me, in the, I almost called it the front row too, in the locker room. Thank you for having that
You're
in my
welcome.
Mind.
You're welcome.
But no, it's got to be defense. We have not had a guy that could get to the passer consistently right. Since John Abraham.
Since John Abraham. Which Grady and I talked about that earlier in the season. Like, that's the last guy I remember like truly could get to the quarterback and like prolifically at least.
Yeah, Grady does a good job. He's an interior guy. If he gets you 7-8 sacks, that's great. I need 10 on each defensive
end. Yeah, but
he's
not, exactly.
And we don't have that. So yeah, every single draft and free agent dollar to me is going to go to upgrading the defensive side of the ball, specifically pass rush. Number two would be wide receiver. Because you think about it, it's Drake London and a bunch of guys that probably don't belong in the NFL.
Yeah, well, I mean, Olamide Zaccheaus is a solid number two or number three.
No, he's a four on a good team.
Well, I guess I'm just used to seeing him be the go-to.
So I ask you this.
The one consistent for the best
years. I'll use my home team.
Mm-hmm.
Jaylen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Cedric Wilson, Trent Sherfield, Olamide Zaccheaus. Where's Zaccheaus playing in that group? He's number five.
Yeah, the end.
So would I want him on my team? Yes, he's really fast. I need him to be out there about 20 snaps a game.
It's just that is so like not laughable, but like laugh to keep from crying because how many times we've drafted at the pass, including
Calvin Ridley?
No, not including. Well, obviously including Calvin Ridley, including
Kyle Pitts,
is in that too.
Yeah,
we've gone to that so many times. Like when they drafted Drake London, I texted my friend who works for the Falcons, who will go remain nameless, and his response was saying, "Are you kidding me? I have something to do. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?" And he goes, "Falcons gonna Falcon."
Yeah. That's exact. I would have rather had Jordan Davis because he plugs a big hole, need in the middle. I would have rather had N'Kobe Dean. There's a lot of guys I would have rather
N'Kobe Dean hasn't really seen the field much this year.
No, but you took Troy Anderson, a project out of Montana State, instead he's okay. I mean, I haven't seen anything year one that makes me go, wow, this guy's going to be a stud.
Right, correct.
Like Micah Parsons year one, you go, holy cow, this guy's a stud.
Yeah.
You see guys at the Falcons draft, and you go, well, maybe 2 years from now it'll be okay. So defense is where I got to go. Receiver would be second.
Awesome. All right. Well, John Michaels from the locker room.
Yes, the locker room. Monday through
Monday,
Friday, 6 to 10.
Friday, 6 to 10 on 680 The Fan, filling in for the oft-injured Brian Finneran. Injured, sick, whatever. All right, Falcons fans, here's, like we said, the running theme for this season, Hope Springs Eternal. We'll see what the Falcons do up in Baltimore against the Ravens. And as always, go Dirty Birds. Thank you for tuning into FinCast, brought to you by Scana Energy, the official natural gas partner of the Atlanta Falcons. FinCast is hosted by Brian Finneran, co-hosted and executive produced by Tyler Nelson. If you'd like to reach out to the show, email Tyler at tyler@680thefan.com. FinCast is hosted by 680 The Fan on thepodcastpark.com and is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Opening and closing music by Atlanta band Gringo Starr and their song I Will Not Follow. Thanks for tuning into FinCast. We'll see you next week.
The whole thing was a disaster.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.